Hi friends, it's Danny, your host. I'm jumping in right now to give you just a quick mini-sode. This is a more intimate and casual version of the podcast. So I'm going to start out today by talking a little bit about the format and really schedule of the show, some input and messages that I've gotten from listeners so far, how you can send in your own questions, and some of the overall learnings that I've been getting from doing the interviews with our guests on the show. So first off, I want to talk about the release schedule for the show. So the main episodes with the interviews with guests, those are going to come out every other Friday, and there's going to be 8 of them total in this season. So that'll be about 4 months that this season will be going on. And I've already recorded a bunch of those interviews, so I'm really excited to share some of the things I've been learning as we go along. And then in between those main episodes, I'm going to be launching these mini-sodes that are kind of a little bit more interactive. I think it's going to be a fun way to bring in feedback from people who are listening and, you know, kind of talk about, you know, just the engagement that we're getting around the show, because it's really, the show is tied to my short story Dog Deities. And it's also, you know, a way to kind of spread the word about animal communication and that this is, you know, a very real thing that, that people can do. And I've already been getting so much input through that, just through the process of announcing the show on my own Instagram account. I've had friends reach out and want to learn more. So they basically, you know, have a pet that they love very much, and maybe they had kind of heard of animal communication, but were not familiar enough. It does sound very strange if you're not familiar with it. So I think it kind of takes having a good friend that you trust to say that, yeah, I've tried this out with my own pet and I had a good experience. So that's definitely been happening. I've already had people reach out, and I've gotten to actually refer them to some of the guests on the show. So one important note is that everyone I'm interviewing on this show, they're people that I've personally worked with. I've, you know, done a workshop with them. They've been a coach for me, or they come highly recommended through my network or through other people that I've worked with. So they're all people that I highly recommend. Like I said, the interviews are going to be coming out, you know, kind of over the next few months. So if you're listening and you're eager to work with someone, now for something that's going on with your pet, I wanted to share a little bit about, how to choose someone, because that's come up with, the friends who have reached out to me who kind of told me about an issue with their pet. One of them hasn't been eating any food. She's tried a bunch of things, including cooking the food herself. And then another friend, also had, you know, kind of a more, physical issue with the pet's health. And so I'll talk a little bit about kind of the advice I gave them and how I chose who to refer them to, or who I most highly recommended. So in animal communication, I kind of have seen it, people in three buckets when I've done research around this. There's people who call themselves pet psychics, and those tend to focus more on finding lost pets. Tends to be more the theme there. And then there's intuitive animal communicators who are a bit more broad. And then there's people who do animal communication, but they also do other kinds of coaching. So I tend to find people fall into those buckets. And there's also a lot of intersection between animal communication and Reiki. I'm not sure if that's kind of an accident or by chance, because Reiki is used for humans, but you can also use it for animals. And there seems to be kind of just like, a tie between those things, that people do Reiki for animals. The other thing to know about Reiki is that when you practice Reiki, it helps boost your intuition and it activates psychic abilities. So people who start doing Reiki for animals, or humans, start to get those intuitive messages too. So there's just kind of a spectrum where these things tend to be related. So something else to think about is with animal communication. If you're looking for kind of a more physical or a health issue, which you might, you know, in that case, want someone who does Reiki as well, because Reiki works on healing at multiple levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And the other theme might be if you're looking for more insight into the pet and its preferences. This is where I was when I first adopted my dog. She was a senior dog, so she had some health issues that were a bit confusing, and the vet didn't necessarily have a clear idea of what it was. But I also just wanted to know more about her. I actually wanted to know about her past because I had adopted her as a senior pet, and the rescue didn't know anything about her past. So to kind of break it down, something with a lost pet, lean towards like the pet psychic, because, you know, the more specialized you are, the more practice you have. You'll see in the interviews that people get the information in different ways, and that there is a layer of trying to translate that information. It could come to the intuitive person as a word or an image. And so, you know, if they're seeing sunshine, like, does that mean that the pet is happy, or does that mean that they're like somewhere sunny? There's like definitely a skill to translating that. So something like looking for a lost pet, working with someone who has done a lot of that will be more effective. And then for some kind of health issue, I would lean towards someone who does Reiki and animal communication. Often they offer it in the same session. A lot of them understand that sometimes the health issue means that they need to talk to the pet, and vice versa. Sometimes talking to the pet means that they need to do Reiki. So seeing that crossover is something that I would look for that. And then the more information-based queries that you might have would be more of someone who does an animal communication session. And, you know, in that sense, you usually go in with a list of questions, and then they, you know, the time that they have, they see how many that they can get through. And you would be surprised. I had really a long list of questions for my first session. It was only 30 minutes. And I would say halfway through the session, we had kind of gone through the questions, and I was sort of like, okay, well, what about this? So you want to go in with a good list of questions, because you're going to be able to learn a lot while you're in that session with your pet. And then that last category that I mentioned is people who do coaching for humans as well as the animal communication. And I would say that tends to come up more than people expect. And I was like this too. I went in thinking I'm just going to learn about my pet, but the person I worked with was like, oh, you also, you know, this is what you can learn about yourself through your interactions with your pet. So if that's something that sounds appealing, that's kind of how it went for me. Was I was like, oh wow, if you're intuitive and you know this much about my pet, what can you tell me about myself? Because I would love to have that kind of growth that you're, you know, talking about, you know, that kind of growth and insight that you're describing with my pet Bambi. So I went on to book a coaching session for myself, which was really cool. So if you're excited, and if you have some, I guess, background around kind of this idea that pets are brought into our lives for a reason, then there can be a lot of benefit in working with someone who does coaching for humans as well as coaching for pets, because you can kind of work both sides of it. So that's a little bit about the different kinds of animal communicators and what to think about when choosing someone. There's also, you know, the obvious regions. So I would say like every animal communicator is doing it online now. So, you know, you can work with someone from anywhere, from any time zone, which is really cool. So you have a lot of choices. You don't necessarily need to be in person unless that's just something that you prefer. It's kind of fun to get to know someone in person too. But most animal communicators, I think, especially after the pandemic, have kind of switched to all online, even if they live in the same city as someone. And then there's a huge variation in prices. And so that's something to keep in mind as well, that is likely also influenced by the region people are in. You can find people who are extremely talented, but maybe live in a smaller city, who are then able to offer more affordable prices. So that's something to keep in mind as well, that that there can be a big variation there, and it can be based on a lot of different factors. So I'm confident that if you are wanting to have a session with your animal, that you'll find a person who's amazing for you. And if you have any questions about the process, feel free to reach out. I'm gonna put a link in the show notes for how you could reach out and send in questions about the podcast. If you have questions, if you're listening and have questions for animal communicators, wanting to better understand how it works or something else, I would love to bring that into future interviews. So definitely reach out with that. I'm also curious what kind of questions you would have for your own pet. It can be fun to see what other people would want to ask, and maybe give others ideas for how they want to communicate with their pet. So I would love to see those as well. And I'll start, you know, whatever people send in, I'll start addressing on future minisodes like this, and we can kind of make it more of a conversation because I love learning from people. So I love sharing what I learn, and I love learning from you as well. So lastly, I wanted to talk about a theme that's come up in the interviews that I've done already, and that is that every single person has said, without me prompting, that everyone is intuitive, that whether or not we know we have this skill, that we are intuitive. And I found this, you know, a kind of a funny statement to be made by people who are, you know, professionally offering their intuitive skills, that this is their main source of income, and that they're, you know, making a point of emphasizing that, you know, you don't need me to communicate with your animal, that you can actually do it yourself. And so I was sort of reflecting on this, you know, why is it that that they have felt the need to express this so strongly? And I think, of course, the first reason is because they truly believe it. They wouldn't be saying that unless that was really, really the case. And, you know, the second reason that I came to was just that people who have intuitive skills that are, or to put it another way, who are in touch and who are activating and using their intuitive skills, they're aware that it's an upgrade for the entire world. It's an upgrade for society. It's better for all of us if we're all using our intuitive skills. So there's kind of, you know, this utopian framework where each of us knows exactly what we're here to do, and we're doing it. And when we're, you know, doing the work that brings us the most joy, that it's better for everyone around us, and everything fits together like a perfect clock, or, you know, a perfect machine. No one's doing anything because they feel like they have to, but we're all contributing and experiencing joy because of it. So that's really my takeaway from that. We might come into intuition because we're looking to communicate with our pet, or just because we want to make better decisions that lead to better outcomes. And it's really for the benefit of everyone, for more of us to develop those abilities that are innate. So also in the show notes, I'm going to leave a link to my guide for developing intuition. It's been a journey for me. I'm someone who started out really with very low self-trust. And so it's been a long journey, and it's a continued life journey for me to build up that self-trust. So I've learned a lot. And so I have a 4-step process that is what I use to develop and grow my intuition. And so I'm going to share a link to that in the show notes if you are interested. And I think that's it for this episode. So I would love to hear from you, would love to see your ratings and reviews. It means a lot to see those reviews. So I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast and to share the podcast. If you heard anything that resonated, or if in listening it reminded you of someone in your life, I would love for you to share the podcast with them, send it along so we can spread the word about animal communication and the difference it's making in people's lives. So thank you again, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.